welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This afternoon I'm going to speak a bit about the Holy Sabbath. And I'm sure most of us here has heard about the Sabbath, what it is, what it means. And, you know, I was also one of those people that has heard what it's about, what it means. But for the first time in my life, this was about 2 months ago, month and a half ago, I think I burnt out for the first time in my life. And for me, that looked like I became a zombie for a week and a half, just in terms of everything. I was still involved, still doing what I needed to do, fulfilling my responsibilities and priorities. All those things are still straight, but in a sense, I felt just a walking dead. Not in the good sense that we need to die in Christ, okay? The bad sense, like you're just dead, like a zombie. You know, it's not a beautiful thing. And before that, and in that, and after that, God has spoken to me so clearly about rest. And that caused me to not only speak about it to you guys today, but I had to truly go and look at what God says, you know, about the Sabbath, about what is the Sabbath, why is it there, and how does God feel about it. So I want us to start right from the very beginning, not in Genesis 1, but in Genesis 2. But first we want us to look at the origin of the Hebrew word. Now, we say Sabbath, but it's actually Sabbat. And it's derived from the word meaning to stop, to cease, or to keep. Okay, and its theological meaning is rooted in God's rest, which followed the 6 days of creation. Like we all know, we've all heard about God. God is a big deal. Literally, figuratively, He holds the whole universe, which we cannot even start to fathom, in the palm of His hand. He's indescribable, He's incredible. And our God, our Father, He rested, okay? I want us just to understand that before we go further. God, who is God, is not man. He had to rest. Genesis 2, we read, "And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, hence the holy Sabbath, because on it, God rested from all His work that He had done in creation." Okay, so what happened? Why did God need to rest? He created everything that we see, okay? He created the whole earth, spoke life, animals, humans, everything in 6 days. There's many theologies going that it's perhaps years or thousands of years, it's 6 days, okay? If the Bible says Jesus died, He died. If the Bible says it's a day, it is a day. It's not a week or a month. So God created the whole world in 6 days. And I don't know about you, but I think that would be really tiring. But God said, okay, the seventh day, He's not going to do anything. He's happy with the work that He has done. Before He does anything else, He's going to rest. So the seventh day, the last day of the week, God blessed it. He made it holy. And He rested. Then we can also look at the Greek noun, Sabbath. And this form is used primarily to denote the seventh day of the week. As you see that God rested on the seventh day, though it may occasionally refer to the Sabbath week. In Leviticus, we read about Sabbath weeks and Sabbath years as well. Okay? You can go read up about it. Especially great to join Bible school. There we go into a bit of teaching. Although today we're going to read a lot of Scripture, because the Sabbath is just all over Scripture. Resting is all over Scripture. But I'm not going to go into details about Sabbath weeks and Sabbath years. Join Bible school, and you'd learn all about that. But as I journeyed through the Bible and through God speaking to me and God conveying His heart to me and leading me to repent, first of all, because, you know, even before I continue with the message, I need to say I were the kind of guy. Because I need to start to get this right. Like, you know, the Holy Spirit sustains me. I can go 48 hours a day, 8 days a week. And you know what? I would just find my peace and my rest in God, and I would just keep on running, 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 because, you know, people need to get saved. The kingdom needs to come. And 4 hours of rest a night, every night, is, you know, it's fine for me. You know what? All those things are true. The kingdom does need to come. God does give us the ability supernaturally to keep on going, even though we are tired physically, emotionally. But God commanded me, and God commands you to rest. And that's not only in December holidays. Most of us think or live by the precept that rest is a luxury. But today I want to make it clear that resting is a command from God. And you know what? I needed to repent when God started to speak to me about this, because I was so disobedient with not having 1 day of rest a week. And I'm sure that as I go through the message, you would see it's all over Scripture. I trust that the Holy Spirit would convey His heart, God's heart to you. But you know what? Perhaps that today there's some of you that need to repent as well, saying, Lord, I'm so tired here today. I'm so just looking forward to the holiday, because I need to find my own feet, I need to reconcile with You, and I need to find out what my purpose is, because I'm just so tired of doing Your work, Lord, and doing my work, Lord. I'm just tired. I'm just over it. Each of us, we're at a different place with this. But let's just open our hearts to the Word of God, and let's see what God said. And as I went through the Scriptures, God reminded me of many questions I would ask when people spoke about the Sabbath, or when they would confront me about resting, and just general questions in the Christian crowd. And I went about to answering some of those questions. So if you have some of these questions today, I'm sure that, and I hope that today some of these questions we ask, well, we ask perhaps that, you know, isn't the Sabbath just a Jewish tradition? Like, we all know about the Jewish feasts and the new moons and all those feasts and traditions the Jews had. So is the Sabbath not just, didn't God just give it for the Jews? Okay, let's read together in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And He said to them, that's Jesus speaking, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath for man, not the Jews, made it for man. And in case you've wondered, women, you are also included in this word man. So God made the Sabbath for us as a gift, as a blessing, as a command, as something holy, and not the other way around. And this was not something which I want us to just understand, that God didn't create the earth, create man, and everything started to come into motion. Then all of a sudden He said, oh no, people are burning out. They need to learn to rest. Same way we can look to Jesus for an example of how we should live and how we should become. The same way God modeled it. He worked 6 days and then He rested. He said, you know what, from this day on, before everything started, that is what should happen. Then we can also look at, I'm sure we're all familiar with the Ten Commandments. Who can recite all ten for me? Anyone? Don't worry, I can do it either. But the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it. Okay, that's the fourth commandment. So perhaps we would say, okay, but that's Old Testament. Jesus came and He died on the cross. So, you know, in a sense, the Old Testament and the laws, they're just void. They're not really applicable to my life anymore, especially that I'm not a Jew also. But, you know, the law is not applicable to me anymore. Let me read a scripture to you in Luke 16, verse 17. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. And also Psalm 89, verse 34, I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Let me interpret those two scriptures for you. The Ten Commandments are still very applicable in your life. Okay? You still cannot murder, cannot covet. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. You need to honor the Sabbath and keep it. Okay? Then we still can say, Lord, understand that you came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. But though you said that, you know, through your baptism, I'm a new creation, that I can just live and rest and be in your peace through your cross. But then my answer to that is, I want us to look at the life of Paul. And Acts 13, from verse 13 to 15 says, now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia, and on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it. Okay, so Paul and a bunch of other guys with them in the New Testament, by the way, they went to the synagogue, which is the church setup we have today. They went there to worship God, to read the word, to teach. And we can read further in Acts 13 from verse 43 saying, and after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So here the church of Acts, Paul and all the other disciples and their companions, they kept the Sabbath. Even after the death of Jesus on the cross, Acts 18 verse 4 says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. The book of Acts makes it clear that Paul and the early church kept the Sabbath. That they continued with the command that not only God gave, but Jesus said as well to do, to set on. You know, we look at the early church for so many things, with signs and wonders, how to teach, how to speak, how to walk, excuse me. I think I'm going to keep on. But it's so easy for us to neglect the Sabbath, to neglect rest. What does rest look like? And we're going to go into that a bit later. So God not only gave the Sabbath to the Jews, he gave it to all people. And we can read the command in Isaiah 56 saying, blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. And verse 6 to 7 says, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. The burnt offerings and the sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. I don't know if you've realized, but I remember coming out of the professional world as well. In the company that I worked at, yes, a year at the end of the year, everyone just, if you had your own office, you would, by November, very rarely see other people because you would be so on a, what's it, a thin straw, temper-wise, because you'd be so tired, you'd be so sick and tired of everyone. You just want to get the year over, get into holiday mode. You want to go rest and go find yourself and go find your spirituality. Again, that's what most of them used to say. But God just commands and models such a different lifestyle and expects such a different lifestyle from us. And we can hear that what God said and perhaps try to say, okay, but that was God creating the earth. You only need to rest after creating the earth. We can say, okay, Paul and the guys, you know what? quite cool, but I only want to follow Jesus. I believe it's easy for us to sort of question the things which are most difficult for us to get right, but then we can look at the life of Jesus and ask that Jesus keep the Sabbath. And we can read in Luke 4:16 saying, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read." And also Jesus knew that in 70 years after his death, Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Romans. He warned the people saying in Matthew 24:20, "Pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath." So Jesus actually warning the people in Jerusalem, you know what? Your city is going to be destroyed, so actually pray that it should not be the Sabbath, because you should rest on the Sabbath, not do any work. And I believe that is such a model for us in how our calendar should look like. We all say, "Yes, but I can't rest this week because my workload is too much. My responsibilities are too much. And I need to respect and honor God with everything that He has given me to do," which is true, which is great, we should do it. But have we ever prayed, "Lord, I want to honor, I want to keep your Sabbath, so Lord, help me to do everything that I need to do in these 6 days of the week, because God, I know you require of me to rest one day." And for me, what rest looks like, if your work entails a bunch of emails, a bunch of cell phone type work, and to meet with people who drain you, your resting day looks like without your cell phone, without your computer, without the people that drain you. It is to be in a place where you can be filled with God, be filled with the things that strengthen you, that helps you to rest. But also with that said, you know, the Sabbath is not a day where we can just be couch potatoes and not be Christians anymore. Saying, "Okay, Lord, you want me to rest, so I'm gonna do absolutely nothing." We all know that, you know, two extremes are never right. And so practically, what does this rest look like? We know that Jesus, he worked on the Sabbath. But what did this work look like, and what did Jesus say? And he said in Luke 6:6, when Jesus came across a man with a withered hand, "On another Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there, and Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them, all he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand,' and he did so. And his hand was restored, but they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." Okay, so Jesus was in his rest day, the Sabbath day, the holy day. This man needed to be healed. So what is Jesus, "Do you know it's my resting day, I'm not going to pray for you"? No, Jesus prayed so that life can be manifested, so that evil and harm can go. Sabbath day does not mean we take off our Christian hats as well. The same as we would pray and do healings and do signs and wonders and reflect Christ on every day of the week, we should do that on the Sabbath day as well. The command is very specific that we should stop working in the sense of our responsibilities and what we need to do for our salary, in a sense. We can look at that, or our duties which we are forced to do because of our position, our earthly position. But that does not mean we need to stop being Christians on the Sabbath day. So why do we have the Sabbath? Why is rest important, and why do we need to keep it? The Sabbath is a twofold sign, firstly of the one, as we read in Genesis 2, that the earth was created in 6 days. And secondly, that God's mighty power to redeem and sanctify man would be made known to us. Exodus 20:11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And Ezekiel 20:12 says, moreover, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So Jesus did that sign on the Sabbath day in order not to only heal the person, but the person can know Jesus and be sanctified. I don't know who's in the situation like I was for so many years, just saying, you know, I will find my rest in the Lord, even though I am just running and running and running and running, not finding any concrete rest from my responsibility somewhere. The Bible is so clear that we do find our rest in God, but the Bible is so clear that we need to be separated and spend time with God. Where did Jesus spend? Where were Jesus when the disciples were looking for him? He just left everything. He left everyone and he went up to the mountain to rest and to be filled with God. God commands us to stop our lives and to rest one day a week, not just so that we can sleep all day, but so that we can come back to God. We can come back to how he feels about us, the way that we relate to him, so that we will always be in tune with his purposes and plans. And I don't know how many of you get this right, to one day a week, to switch off everything, to switch off your responsibilities, to stop working, to say, God, today I'm just going to sit here, I'm just going to wait for you, Lord. I'm going to wait for you, Lord, to come speak to me. Lord, if nothing happens today, this is such a blessed day because this is your holy day. I'm just going to rest in it. No, this is not the day set apart where we can schedule all our parties with all our friends and for our pleasures. It is absolutely not that day. The Sabbath is not there to fulfill our desires. It is not the day where we were, Lord, we were so busy this week. Now I need to care with pity on this day. It does not mean we can't see anyone. It just means, what is the focus of the Sabbath? Because it is a holy day. Now, church, we are too busy. I'm sure most of us, we are too busy with what we feel we need to do and have to do, that it is really just so penetrating and barging time that we need to spend with God and to be at his heart and to sit at his feet. Because as I said earlier, rest is not a luxury for those that are not so busy. It is a command from God. And this does not mean, you know, we neglect our work responsibilities for those working and earning salaries and do those things. It does not mean we need to neglect our family, neglect putting food on the table, neglect bringing home the bacon. It just means we need to work so that we have a day off and make sure that we do. And the thing that is spread across not only this church but so many churches is people are so tired just during the week stuff, and they come to church where they need to serve as well. And we all know the church program, the calendar, which I believe is great because we say, Lord, I give you my life, I give you my time, and then our calendar is full, and then we complain about our calendars being full. There's nothing wrong with having a full calendar. But are we busy with the right things that God has laid on us to do and not just being busy for the sake of being busy? I've spoken to a couple of people over the last couple of weeks, just saying how tired they are, just saying that, you know what, why aren't there more people serving the church because we have to do everything and it's just impossible, we need to rest as well and all those things. I just hope, church, that you know, today and tonight we would perhaps just go have a look at our calendars, see how the past year went, evaluate the situation, the place we are in, and we can already bring our calendars of next year before God and say, Lord, perhaps, Lord, I've not honored and kept your Sabbath this year, but I want to get it right next year, Lord. So I already pray for every single week that I would be able to do all my work in 6 days, so the seventh day I can spend it with you, Lord, and the things you want me to do on that day. Let's bring our calendars for next year before God so we will not grow weary by the end of the year, but throughout the whole year we'd pick up momentum and move from strength to strength in Christ Jesus as we find time to rest. Exodus 23 verse 12 says, 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox, your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant, woman, and the alien may be refreshed. Another word for the alien in other translations is a sojourner. I don't know if you knew the word alien is in the Bible, but it is, by the way. You all look very at peace, at rest at the moment. That is good. I hope it's the Spirit of God just giving you rest. But a sojourner is just a guy with a temporary stay at someone's house. So it says that you need to rest in order that your maid, your sojourner, your woman's servant, son, your ox, your donkey, your dog, that everyone can just rest on that day. God did not make us just to go on and go on and keeping on. That is not biblical. He's commanded us to work for 6 days and rest, irrelevant to whether your work is finished or not. If it's not finished, you need to plan and pray better through your work, but you need to rest and keep the day holy. God gave us a Sabbath for us to enter rest and to be sanctified and to receive a revelation of God in this time. And Psalm 37 verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We sang a song now, Lord, we are waiting here for You. And we give God about 3 minutes for Him to pitch up, okay? And then we move on. God can pitch up in 3 minutes and do whatever He wants to do in our lives. He's God. He's awesome. But I believe these scriptures, like Psalm 37 saying, be still before the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way. When was the last time we said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be still, Lord. I'm just going to shut up myself on my cell phone. I'm going to wait. Lord, I'm going to wait for You. Whether You are going to come in this afternoon or still in this morning, Lord, I'm just going to wait for You. When last did we do that, church? When last did we give God the space which He commands us to give Him weekly to come and restore us, to come and sanctify us so that we can know Him as His sons and daughters? What is the biggest problem I believe in church today is we do not understand who we are in Christ. It is such a struggle for us to know our identity as sons and as daughters. If we would truly know that we are the sons of God and the daughters of God, how would we not conduct ourselves in meetings, at our work, in public places? How would we not just command everything from the devil just to get out of the way as we understand who we are in Christ? You know, this is where this happens. It's where we give space and time for God, as like Jesus, as He just left everyone behind and went up to the mountain for a whole night or for a whole day to say, Lord, I'm just going to wait. Lord, just do whatever You want to do, Lord. I believe, church, we're not only going to look better and rest better, but I believe we're going to be so much more effective as a church and as sons and daughters of Christ when we get this right, as we keep the Sabbath, as we give time due to God for Him to come and reveal Himself. Hebrews 4. Verse 9 to 11 says, so then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from His. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. And this same sort of disobedience is linked with the scripture in Hebrews 3:12 saying, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. The Sabbath day, I like to look at it as it's a day of synchronization. It is a day, it's been a busy week, it's been a hell of a week. And we need to come back to Jesus, we need to sink to the image of who we need to conform to, transform to, become like. and then we can enter into the next week. I believe it is, we can't ask God the question like, Lord, why am I so tired and confused? Why don't I hear your voice? I'm just running around like crazy. But we do not allow for us the sinking time to happen. Even our cell phones charge it almost daily. We sync it with the updated apps. Because if we would stop updating our apps for our cell phones for a year, you know, that thing would just be useless. Because it would be so far from what is currently happening in the world of Android or Apple, whatever situation you want to compare it to. God is not someone who just stands in the same place the whole time. God moves, and He is moving. He's moving as we speak, as we sit. So every week we should reevaluate and say, God, where are you going now? Where are you moving now? Because I want to be with you. I want to update who I am to be who you are currently in that situation, to be more accurate and to be rested out so that you can be charged and synchronized. See, God has a promise for us if we keep His commandments. If we keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy, we will know who He is and God will restore us. You see, this rest God is talking about, it's not just a rest that we can have our 8 hours of sleep, but it is truly a rest in which He restores our souls. We all know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We need to give God the time and space to lead us beside still waters. So we can lie there in the wind, feel the grass, and now if you have a vivid imagination, you can just go to that place. I'm on my way. And allow God to restore you. I want to challenge each and every single one of you. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor, if you're a doctor, if you're a pilot, if you're whatever. God knows you are those things. If we'd give God our schedule and say, Lord, you command me to keep the Sabbath, I would do whatever it takes. Work 20 hours a day for 6 days, that is okay, so that you can rest on the seventh day. You know, the apostles and their companions in Jesus, I don't believe they were lazy people. They worked and shared the gospel as well and did all these crazy things. I don't believe that they slept much. They took the Sabbath. They did whatever needed to be done in order to have a Sabbath day's rest. So church, we need to do it as well. We need to see the Sabbath the way that God sees it. It's not just the last day of the week. It is a holy day. It's not a holy day that man made holy. It's a holy day that God made holy. Not a single dot of the law will become void ever. So let's just stop, pause, cease whatever we are doing so that on the holy day we will be made holy, that we can be sanctified with Christ. And I guarantee you, I promise you, the same way as God promises, that He will show Himself. He will give you the rest. He will restore your soul. So what is this promise that God gives us as we, if we keep His Sabbath? We read in Isaiah 58, verse 13, If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Who wants to ride on the heights of the earth with God? Most of us. I think that would be pretty awesome, right? For me, I see like flying across clouds type of thing. You know, guys, the Bible is a book of truth. Isn't it? The same way that God promises, what's another promise that God gives us? God says that if you honor your father and your mother, you shall live a long and peaceable life. Correct? In other words, you will become old. Okay? You shall live long if you honor your father and your mother. The same way God promises, if we keep his Sabbath, he will reveal himself to us. He will make us ride on the heights of the earth. He will give us the heritage of Jacob. I think that's pretty awesome. I believe that there are some of you today, just as me, we are falling into the trap of the enemy, that we are too busy and we think it is okay to be too busy because we are perhaps busy with church stuff. And I just want to tell you today, church, that we are busy being disobedient to the commands of Christ if we do not take a Sabbath day. That does not mean that if you have training at the church or whatever, that does not mean it's not rest. It's just you should stop whatever you're doing during 6 days of the week that are your responsibility. Say, Lord, this is your day. Just lead me in what I need to do. This is the day, Lord, that if you tell me to sit down for 5 hours and just wait and listen to you, Lord, that I can do it. And we would say, Lord, tomorrow is the Sabbath. Lord, tomorrow is your schedule. It's your program. It's not my bright day. God, it is your day. It is your flying in the clouds day with the Father. So, church, why don't you stand with me? And I want us to close our eyes, please. And let's take 2 minutes. I want you to assess yourself. I want you to think about a date, of a moment which you have last taken a Sabbath day. Let's do that. And I'm sure that as we remember the day, we can just be so reminded of the rest and of the peace and of the joy we experienced in that and the day after that, just being so ready. We can say, Lord, I found my rest. You restored my soul. The whole world can turn against me tomorrow because I will be ready for it. God, I'm with you. But even that same remembrance, in that same moment, we find ourselves not remembering too many Sabbaths we've taken. I want us to, as you stand there, we actually need to repent today, church, of not being obedient to the command of God saying that we need to work 6 days and rest the seventh. So if that is you, why don't you just repent where you are? Know that the Sabbath day you have given us, you have created for us. It's not just an extra day for us to do whatever we want, Lord, but you called the day holy. Because on that day, Lord, you want to make us holy, Lord. Today, Lord, we say we're sorry, Father, that we have not kept your day, that we have stepped on your holy day, Lord, and we have fulfilled our own pleasures, God. Lord, our heart's desire, Lord, is to lie down in green pastures so that you can restore our souls, Father. We want to walk in your promise as we read in Isaiah. So you want to take us to the heights of the earth. You want to show us who you are. You want to sanctify us. You want to give us the inheritance of Jacob. God, we want those things. We want to know you more, Lord, and above all of it, Lord, we want to know who we are as your sons and your daughters. We want to understand it, Father. And we know, God, that you have created and given us the Sabbath for that purpose, God. You need us just to lay down all our business, all our stuff, to stop, to be with you, Father. So, Lord, we repent of not getting it right. But Lord, we give this very week we are entering, Father, I pray that tomorrow, on day two of this week, God, you would speak to us and guide us on how to be so effective during the week so that come the seventh day, Father, we can rest. We can say, Lord, I'm going to sit still. I'm going to wait patiently, Lord, for you to come and to penetrate our lives, Father. So, Lord, I pray and speak a restoration of your ordinance of the Holy Sabbath over our lives, Lord. That as we keep it, we would know you more. And as we keep it, we would be able to go further, go higher, and be stronger in everything that we do. Because we will be in you, Lord, and not in ourselves. Oh, Father, restore to us your delight in us, Lord.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.